not just as individuals, but we come and worship as a body of Christ, of which all of us are members of, and that the forgiveness and the welcome that we receive from God, which the peace comes right after that declaration of forgiveness, that we then turn and extend to one another, welcoming one another, not just because they're visiting, but because we are all members of the same body of Christ. So we're going to start practicing that again. Gerald, will you come and make the announcement about the Peace and Global Witness offering?
Thank you, Michelle, and good morning, everyone. You have your name tags on, I assume. That's good. Janice, you've got your name tag on. Yes, good. That's a neat addition to our worship. So today, I'm standing and announcing and talking about the Peace and Global Witness offering. Every year, Presbyterians are so active in our local community, our regional, Western U.S., Central U.S. communities, but also in a global community as well. You'll see Presbyterians all over the world active in various global initiatives. But today, I'm specifically talking about the Peace and Global Witness offering, which I believe is in the bulletin. If it's not, you can see a copy in the Northex, but I think it is today. And on the second page, you'll see the 25% of our offering on September 29th. 25% of the offering on September 29th is provided to a local, stays with our congregation to support peacemaking and reconciliation in our own community. That's the local community, okay? 25% goes to the Mid-Council, joining with other congregations in our area. Now, that's kind of the Western U.S., Midwest. And then 50% goes international, globally. So, you know, we're really making an impact. And you can see from a lot of the work that we do, we punch a little bit above the numbers that are local. So we're pretty active. So the local donation this year is going to a group that is active in the local community to fight domestic violence in the home, primarily targeting the youth. If you were here several months ago, we had Peggy Trent in, okay, county attorney. She is very active in promoting and helping, very, very active helping youth in affected by domestic violence. So that's where your 25% is going. So please prayerfully consider on September 29th donating to this project. And if you have any more questions, please let me know or anybody on the mission committee as well, led by Nancy Lick. Nancy, can you raise your hand? So we can, if you need any more information, please let us know. Prayerfully consider. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the introite.
You may remain seated and join me in the call to worship. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Praise Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have been shown mercy so that we may be an example for those who would believe and receive eternal life. Praise Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Praise Christ Jesus, our Lord. Sisters and brothers, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God every time we turn toward our home and remember whose we are. With open hearts, let us pray together. Sovereign God, we confess that we have not turned away from sin. You search for us like lost sheep, but we pretend not to hear your voice. You treasure us like lost coins, but we spend our lives in foolish ways. Forgive us, God of grace. Help us to repent and return to you so that we may join the joyful feast of redemption and restoration through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. But this we call to mind, and therefore have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Thanks be to God. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us share signs of peace with one another. Peace be with you.
Would the children please come join me? Good morning. How are you guys today? Good. You're good? Do you have special things that you like, maybe you collect or you just like to hold tight to because it's a special toy or a gift or something that you were given?
Well, I had something. I went to camp and I was finding these really smooth rocks with Andrian, and mm-hmm. like when we were stressed, they were really smooth.
So you used it kind of as a calming stone. That's great. What about you, Silas?
I collect lots of rocks.
Do you like rocks?
Yeah.
You can tell your guys' dad's a geologist. Yeah. So I have some of the things that I find really special today. So I like stuffed animals. So today I brought some of my favorites. I brought a bear.
Oh, I have a bear that's like this big.
Do you?
Yeah.
And I have a penguin. And I have my brown bunny. And, oh no, I lost one of my bunnies. I lost Snowball. Can you guys help me find it? It has to be here somewhere. I know I had it. Go look in the choir. Help me, let's find the bunny. Help me find the... Oh. Thank you, Silas. You found the bunny. You found Snowball. Thank you. So this reminds me of a story. There's a story in the Bible about Jesus. There's lots of stories in the Bible about Jesus. And we've talked before about how sometimes the church leaders gave him kind of a hard time. Remember? We talked about that a lot. So one day, Jesus was talking with the church leaders, and they asked him why he spent so much time with people that they called sinners. They felt that he shouldn't be spending time with the people who weren't good Jews. And Jesus said, if you were a shepherd and you had 100 sheep, and they were out in the fields, and you brought them back in to your fold, you brought them back home, but only 99 came back, so one was missing. Would you worry about that one sheep?
Do you think you'd worry, Silas?
Yeah, you'd worry about that one sheep. And would you go looking for it? You would, because it's important. You care about all your sheep. And that's how... Right, if it were young and maybe not very experienced being outside by itself. So Jesus said, Jesus said, of course you'd go after that lost lamb. Just the same way, in the same way, there is great rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents, because even one sinner repenting is more glorious than 99 righteous who don't need to repent. So Jesus reminds us that this reminds us that Jesus loves us all, and the Lord wants us all to be close to him and have a relationship with him, just like the shepherd looks for his sheep. The Lord's always looking for us. All right, so remember that. Let's say a prayer. Lord, thank you for being our shepherd and caring for us and taking care of us and giving your life for us. Amen. All right, thanks, guys.
Now to our hearts. By the power of your Spirit, make these ancient words live, that we might be shaped into your people, eager to bear your claim in the world and to give flesh to your future. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who leads us into life. Amen. The first reading this morning is from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. I am grateful to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Of Luke chapter 15, and in case you can't tell by now, includes the parable of the 99 sheep. Let us listen for God's word to us this day from the Gospel of Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may know this song, and if you do, you can join me when I point to you. "It's my party and I'll cry if I want to, cry if I want to, cry if I want to.
You will cry too if it happens to you."
Good. That's great. That's great. So that song, if you know the rest of it, her boyfriend Johnny disappears with her girlfriend Judy, and when they reappear, Judy is wearing Johnny's class ring. She's been dumped at her own party. That's not supposed to happen, right? You'd cry too if it happened to you. I think that's how the Pharisees and scribes are feeling in our text this morning. They're the experts in Jewish law, in the religious tradition. They know how things are supposed to work. It's their party. And along comes Jesus, claiming to be the long-awaited Messiah that's been promised. And he turns their religious laws upside down. And the people love him. So our text opens with the Pharisees grumbling about Jesus' behavior. Why are they grumbling about who Jesus eats with? Who cares who he eats with? Why does it matter? Well, these folks are called sinners in the text. And that's not like kind of how we may think of that word. It's not just a personal opinion about someone's lifestyle. It was a particular term used for people who had broken the law of Moses, who'd broken one of the Ten Commandments. And the whole community knew that they had. And so either formally at the synagogue or informally within the community, they were excluded from the synagogue for their behavior. And because the synagogue was the center of community life, it meant they were cut off from the community as well. And so tax collectors were very much in that category. They weren't the kind of tax collectors like folks who work for the IRS today. It's not quite the same. In the Roman Empire, local residents were subject to multiple taxes, poll taxes, road taxes, bridge taxes, taxes on their merchandise, what we would call property taxes as well. And the task of collecting those taxes was usually given to a wealthy and powerful figure in a particular geographical area. Most often, someone who was not native to that area, so someone who was already an outsider. He, in turn, divided the area into tax districts with chief tax collectors who, in turn, used locals to collect on their behalf. You can see the pyramid grow. Because of that, the system allowed for extra tax to be collected above the amount that was supposed to go back to Rome. And so the doors were wide open for corruption. And as you can imagine, the people involved with all of this were not well liked. In addition, they were guilty of usury, according to Moses, making money off of their own people, working for foreigners against their own people, and the additional offense of being impure because they had contact with Gentiles. All of those were reasons to be cut off from the synagogue and cut off from the community. So Jesus is including these folks who were excluded by the law. They were not the kind of people you were supposed to talk to, let alone share a meal with. In the ancient world, eating together meant full acceptance of another person. I mean, even today, you don't just invite a stranger in to have dinner at your home. There's usually some kind of relationship there. The Pharisees and scribes must have been asking, how could God's Messiah welcome and eat with these known breakers of the law, these outcasts of the community? Is this really the kind of thing the Messiah is supposed to do? Shouldn't we, the leaders and the preservers of the faith, be the ones that Jesus is spending time with? It's our party, after all. The Pharisees are grumbling because they feel like they're being displaced. They see Jesus' welcome of the outcasts as an exclusion of them, as though there is somehow a limited amount of mercy and grace to go around. So to help them understand, Jesus tells three parables: the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. Of course, the lectionary ends the reading this morning before the story of the prodigal son, and so we miss the connection between the grumbling Pharisees and the grumbling older brother at the younger brother's party. That's another sermon. We'll go back to the sheep and the coin. Jesus says, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, is too busy to go looking for the sheep that has wandered off from the rest of the flock? I mean, what's one sheep, right? No, each sheep is valuable to the shepherd. He can't afford to lose even one. And so regardless of the inconvenience and the risk, he goes searching for it. And when the sheep is found, it is valuable enough to warrant a party, calling friends and neighbors to come and celebrate. Jesus goes on. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, cannot be bothered to clean the whole house until she finds it? Each of those coins is probably worth about a day's labor. So the stash of coins is probably her life savings, tucked under the mattress. She can't afford to lose a single coin. So she too tells her friends and neighbors to come and celebrate with her when she has found her very important coin. Now, I don't know if any of you keep sheep, but I highly doubt that you keep your life savings in under your mattress. So the illustrations that Jesus is using might not connect quite the same way for us as they did for his original listeners. But let's say you lose your keys, or your wallet, or your cell phone, and it's turned off. Are you too busy to be interrupted to hunt for them until you find them? I doubt it. Everything else stops, and you are on a hunt until you find it. It doesn't seem like an interruption because what you're looking for is so important. And when you find it, you might not throw a party, but it is probably the story you will tell all day about how you're so relieved to have found your keys or your wallet or your phone. Perhaps this is what the Pharisees and scribes are really grumbling about. You see, if someone says that Jesus is the Messiah, then the things that Jesus is doing, his ministry, is a reflection of what God is doing in the world, what the reign of God really looks like. And of course, that means those who confess that Jesus is God's Messiah ought to be about doing those same things. From these parables, it looks like it's about mercy rather than merit, about welcome rather than rule-keeping. And if we look throughout Scripture, the whole of God's story of salvation, of bringing liberty and light and love, is one of God moving toward humanity, welcoming and embracing those that others claim are outside the community. There's an interesting pattern in these parables. You've probably noticed it already. Jesus welcomes the outcasts and eats with them, has a party. The shepherd searches for the sheep, finds the sheep, throws a party. The woman searches for her lost coin, finds the coin, and throws a party. Those who follow Jesus are invited to join in the searching and welcoming and partying or rejoicing. If you find yourself grumbling, then you might want to ask yourself, who am I in this parable? I saw a story about a community in Massachusetts and a little girl, 2 years old, named Samantha, who lived there. Samantha loves to talk to people, and it makes her very sad when she can't. Samantha is deaf, and her hearing impairment has created a barrier between her and her neighbors. They don't speak her language. Now, you can't expect a neighborhood to learn a new language just for one child. But you can appreciate neighbors who choose to do so. Samantha's neighbors hired an instructor to teach them American Sign Language. Each week, they meet to learn and to practice, not because they had to, but because they wanted Samantha to feel a part of the community. The instructor says that this is amazing because many parents of deaf children will not bother to learn sign language. So for a whole community to choose to do so is amazing. He also says that this level of inclusion will mean a happier and more well-adjusted Samantha. As you can imagine, her parents are both delighted and overwhelmed by the kindness and generosity of their neighbors. And Samantha is delighted as only a 2-year-old can be. At the end of class each week, she comes in as they practice. And with a beaming smile, the first sign she makes with them is friend. Now, Samantha's not lost. I would say she's not lost. But her hearing impairment does cut her off from her community. But instead, her neighbors have inconvenienced themselves. They've given of their time and their energy and even their money so that they can include Samantha. And it's clear that it's brought much joy to everyone. The neighbors, Samantha, her parents, and usually people who hear the story. So I wonder, this week, who could you seek out and embrace? Someone who is not already part of your community. It might require your time and energy. It might be an inconvenience. But if you lost your keys, or your wallet, or your cell phone, you would search until you found it. And then you would celebrate. You would be filled with joy. You see, this is not our church. It's not our mission. It's not our party. It's God's church, gathered in Jesus Christ to pursue God's mission. And the Spirit invites us to join in the party. To the glory of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Please join me in the affirmation of faith taken from the Confession of Belhar. We believe that God's life-giving word and spirit has conquered the powers of sin and death, and therefore also of irreconciliation and hatred, bitterness and enmity, that God's life-giving word and spirit will enable the church to live in a new obedience which can open new possibilities of life for society and the world. You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Spirit of life, in the beginning you hovered over creation. Still you brood over the world. We pray for your scattered children, for those we see on the news each night, whose heartbreak becomes old news quickly, and whose loss is relentless. We pray for all who cannot rest in safety, who must remain alert to signs of danger because their countries are riven by war, or because their homes are torn by violence, or because they have no shelter but the street. Help us to move with compassion toward those who are in need. We pray for neighbors who are troubled in mind or body or spirit, for mothers who face hard illness, for brothers haunted by anxious thoughts, for children who do not know whom they can trust, for all who continue to mourn the loss of a loved one. In the silence of this room, we lift the names and faces we know into the light of your love. God of holy love, of power and truth, help us neither to bow to fear nor to be silenced by chaos. Instead, move us resolutely toward your world in need until we share the mercy we have discovered in your name. Patient and persistent God, let your grace and mercy overflow from our lives, that we might honor your name in the world. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who came to seek and save what was lost, and who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." With gratitude to God, let us give of our tithes, our offerings, and our lives. Let us pray. God of all good gifts, you bless us with so much to share. Use the gift of our money and the gifts of our lives to bring your healing and hope, your justice and peace to our neighbors near and far. Amen. Go out into the world as God's beloved children, joining the Spirit and welcoming others to the party. And as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.